Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with 2 talents also came forward saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. We are still in that season when I can finish up a gospel reading with, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth," and I say, "And this is the good news." Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever noticed that fear is a lousy motivator? The third servant, the third slave, came back to his master and said, "I was afraid, and so I did nothing." And isn't that how it is with fear? I'm just bursting with trying to tell you something. We got a new dog this weekend. Now, what does that have to do with fear? Because I was reflecting on how they used to teach us how to train your dog. And I grew up on a farm. And I'm not proud of it, but, you know, we yelled at our dogs. And sometimes the dogs got a little boot to the backside. And those dogs were fearful of us. And so they behaved. And they were obedient. But they obeyed because they were fearful. And it's the same thing with human relationships, isn't it? When you're responding to something out of fear, there's no joy in serving, is there? When you're afraid of some potential end circumstance, there's anxiety, but not joy. This week, many of you don't know this, but Steve and Kelly Cheeseman go shopping for our food pantry to supplement what you all bring in terms of food donations. And Steve sends out an email to our group and he says, "We're low on funds. We're not going to be able to make another shopping trip unless we have some more funds." And I go into the office and I said, "Julie, we need to get something on social media." I was responding out of fear and also need, because I know whenever we ask, you all come through. But before I even asked, Darla said, "Hold up." And Judy said, "Hold up." She was in the office too. And Judy said, "That sounds like a fearful response, the way you want to word that, Pastor." She's learned well. Let's make that a request out of thanksgiving, out of abundance. And I'm like, wow, you've been listening. And we all have to remind each other, because sometimes we respond to things out of fear and not out of, "Let God do this. Let's ask, let God do this." But while Judy's telling me, "Let's not make this response so fearful," Darla tells me, "Oh, it's not as critical as you think. We just received a really big donation this morning. It'll easily cover the next shopping trip." And thank you to all of you who have been donating to the food pantry. That food pantry is a ministry that reminds us that the Lord will provide through the generosity of his people. All we've ever had to do is ask. And this is a busy time. Busy. Busy time for the food pantry. A lot of people coming around and saying, "I need food." And we don't ask questions. We take them on their word. We might get somebody who doesn't really truly hungry. But for those who really are, this congregation has committed to being there. It's a ministry of trust and love, not a ministry of fear or neediness. And I think that's where this parable is taking us. When we respond out of love rather than fear, so much more is possible. Look what happens when we share this facility. We've been sharing it for concerts. And little by little, the community knows we're here. And they're appreciating the space, your hospitality. We've been invited to host the Martin Luther King breakfast this year in January. That's the first time for us. It's a hospitality thing. People respond out of kindness, much better than fear. Cindy Barshinger is working on something, and I'm going to have you do a workshop sometime for the whole congregation, because it's teaching kids and teaching parents, and I can't say it as well as she can, how to respond when things aren't going your way. And it starts with take a breath. Take a breath. Trust-based relational intervention, is that it? Look it up online, TBRI. It's a really amazing thing. And what it's about Jesus. It's the ways of Jesus. It's, you don't yell at somebody to get your point being made known. You own yourself. You trust that somebody else is a good person. You're a good person. We can do this. Calmly. So I'm wandering around church this morning, showing everybody who will listen and look the picture of my new dog. And the people at the Humane Society said, he's been caged up for a long time. He might have some issues with rage. And they said, he snaps and snarls. And he doesn't like to be put in the crate. And we're like, okay, we understand that. We'll see what happens. We'll be cautious. We'll see what happens. Then they said, he likes to jump on the sofa. We said, we don't have a sofa. They said, he likes to dig in the garbage. We said, our garbage is locked in a cabinet. They said, when he jumps up in your bed, he won't let you push him over. And we said, that's what we want. We are that kind of dog people. So Saturday morning, Vince and I woke up with an 80-pound toddler sleeping between us. But what we've learned as dog people over the years is they respond to kindness. They respond to trust. So instead of yelling at this dog, we tell him he's a good boy. We tell him he's home. We tell him we're not going to leave him. And we give him two buddies to play with when we're not there. And he's returning unconditional love to us. He thinks he's a big old lap dog, and we're okay with it. But think about it. The difference in the way people treat each other is the difference in how they respond to each other. And when we give of what God has given us, because it's all God's, when we joyfully say, God, use me, God does. When we hold our fists tight and say, I'm scared, there's nothing God can put in these hands. But when we release them and say, God, show me what you've got. God, show me what I've got that I can use to your glory. God turns it around and uses it for the purpose of the gospel. I remember learning this lesson as a 15-year-old. I had just started playing organ at my home church in Wishick, North Dakota. Back then, there were still 400 people in church on a given Sunday. And it was a terrifying thing. I had my best friend sitting behind me counting off the verses. Because I can't play the notes and remember that we're on verse 3. That's how organists start. And at the same time, I was so grateful for God's love. I was just really newly awakened about what the love of God meant, what the peace of Christ was all about. And I was just really joyful and wanting to give. And I said to the pastor, I don't have a job. You know, I want to give more to the church. And he said, whatever you do, to the glory of God is your offering. And so that's how I learned that making music and giving it to God was an offering. And that extended into other areas of my life, in wanting to serve more, because in serving, there was joy. In serving out of gratitude and love, there was joy. In serving out of fear, there is not joy. Do you know that joy? This congregation expresses itself in so many ways, in ministry and in joy. We've got some few exciting things coming up soon as well. This is stewardship. What it is to be entrusted with what is the Master's. Don't dig a hole. Don't bury it. Don't be afraid of the Master. But know that there will be a day when we will see Jesus face to face. And as our second reading said, God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as indeed you are doing. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in the joy of the Master. Amen.